All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. My name is Doug Thornton. I'm the host, and we have with us today Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. Bob is our longest running sponsor, probably one of the best men that we know when it comes to preparedness and the selling of preparedness items and a variety of those items. And Bob's going to talk to us about a little bit of that. And we have some pretty important things to talk about today in terms of preparedness and survival, but just situational awareness of what's happening. Bob, come on, bring us in. What do you got for us?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, another couple active shooters, you know, and it was a good Samaritan, which, you know, immediately somebody tried to call him a hero. And then other people are saying he's no hero. He's a murderer. You know, I mean, you hear all of it, but, you know, somebody who had been trained was able to stop a potentially catastrophic event. How many people would have been killed? We don't know. We know more would have been killed if this good Samaritan hero person had not stepped in and ended the threat. And, you know, that's what we're going to be doing in September here with you and Jamie Walden, is teaching these kind of scenarios so that you can be a person who just not only avoids getting shot, but you can be the good Samaritan who ends the threat, saves lives. And that's what the training is. You know, we have the best people coming here to do training. This past weekend, you know, we had a fighting carbine course, which went absolutely great. We include night shooting into it for people who've not shot with night vision and infrared aiming lasers. And so they get that kind of training when they go to a carbine course. And we also had a sources and methods class where we're doing different things, learning how to, evade, somebody following you. And people go, why do you need to know that? Well, I mean, today we have, you know, just children that could be being followed to be kidnapped, and teaching children this. We have spouses that might have a bad husband or a boyfriend that might have a bad, a girlfriend that might have a bad boyfriend, and how to determine whether you've been being detected or not. You know, I've had some experience in this, and it's in doing certain things. They had two four-man teams out on Sunday morning when everybody was in church, so there wasn't a lot of people on the street. Just with a little boldness, I was able to get away from that surveillance and escape it. And part of it was, I have a backpack, and in that backpack, I have two different shirts, two different hats. And, I would duck into a building. I actually found a building that was some construction workers into it, went into it, and started talking to them. And, I took my shirt off, changed it, and then it took my backpack off and put a shirt over it so it looked like I went from a backpack to a handbag of a different color, and just moved around like that. And those are things that you learn. So, it's very, very good training we receive. And as we see more and more of these actors come about, sooner or later, somebody listening to this program, it's going to come and come to their door. And if you have not had the training of what to do, you're going to be at the mercy of probably circumstances rather than making the circumstances work in your favor. So, we now have it up online that you can go to readymaderesources.com, and across the top, there's a little thing that talks about the training. Just click that. It'll take you to your class, Doug, and you can sign up right there for it online. The good thing about classes like this is that not only do they receive the best in training from people who've had real world experience, but also the after action reports. You know, we sit down after a scenario we've run through, and people can actually ask questions, make comments if something wasn't clear. So they really get it really defined to them, and they can take that back and then maybe even train other people, train their families. What do we do in certain scenarios? My scenario is that if I had my family, my grandchildren with me, the first thing I'm going to do in an active shooter is try to exfil out of the building or the area and protect them. If I'm alone, then this scenario changes. I'm going to try to deal with the shooter in as best way I can. But all those things, we just need to know and plan ahead of time. I'm a person who always knows the exits of a building when I go into it. And, you know, just a little bit of training can go a long way. Like I said, I had pretty much, it was 2 4-man teams, and just through a little training that I've had, I was able to lose them. And that was a good feeling. I mean, you know, they were just looking around for me going, where's he? We disappeared. Where did he go to? You know, so if you're a girl and you have a, you know, a stalker, you know, how to determine, first of all, if someone is following you, second of all, how to get away from it. Or if you're married and you have a, you know, a bad husband or spouse and you need to find out if they're following you home, or even in the future, you know, as we see more and more food shortages happen, you know, people are going to have to do surveillance detection to go home to make sure they're not being followed. And somebody just steal all the groceries they just bought. So being able to do those things, that's what we like to teach people, how to be safe in this world. And that's what the active shooter course is going to be. It's going to be some really in-depth, great training that you could not get pretty much anywhere else, because most of these courses are designed for law enforcement, because that's the people that only they, you know, that's the environment they think people need it. But obviously, just this weekend when that guy took out that threat, you know, or the guy with the knife who took out the threat, he's subsequently been released and all charges dropped, because we just see more and more people fighting back. And that's what we need, because as more people fight back from this, we're going to put these people on alert that it's not just business as usual anymore. And the only place they're going to go to, I mean, there's a lesson here to be learned, Doug. Go to a mall, get shot. Go to a school, everybody's unarmed. I mean, can you see the danger in that? Because these people aren't stupid. They're going to go and realize, I went to a mall where people can carry guns and that guy got shot. I'm going to go to a school or someplace where guns are prohibited. And, you know, I'm going to be able to do what I want to do and, you know, get my 15 minutes of fame. So, you know, it's just so important to be educated and trained today and not just buy equipment and stick it aside. You know, and do that. I mean, the night vision training they got this weekend was just top notch. They spent a couple hours out there shooting at night, you know, steel. And so you could get the audible affirmation that you hit your targets. And you know, people enjoyed it and they realized the power and the force multiplication of what this gives, because it was an extremely dark night. And I mean, I'd lift my knobs up and I had a hard time seeing my hand right here. Flip my knobs down and there, everything came in nice and clear. So, you know, that's it. You know, one of the things I want to point out to people, if you look at this set of knobs, you see that like green film thing, you know, you can see the reflection. Those are actually called light interference filters. If somebody has a laser and shines it into a night vision device like this, you're going to instantly damage the tubes. I mean, so you spend quite a bit of money on something like this, and then somebody shines a laser at it, and you've put black lines on the thing. This unit has what's called light interference filters on it. You know, I'll show you one right here. I'm taking it off. And what the light interference filter does is it protects your investment by, it reflects the wavelength of the lasers that people put on their weapon. That's what it is right there. These little guys really are normally like $160, and they're almost impossible to find. You have to find them, you know, when the government surpluses them out, because most people won't sell them to you. So they surplus them out and you can get them at that point. But that reflects the laser. So when I put that in my night vision, you know, it protects against the laser. So I don't have to worry about the damage. I don't have to worry about spending thousands of dollars on a night vision only to have it go out and somebody like an Antifa person with one of those lasers destroy my night vision. Right now on American and Vindicta, if anybody buys a night vision binocular, we'll get, that's like $159, I think is what it is. I'm going to include one of those free with any night vision people buy, any night vision. So you're going to get that free, but you have to mention in the comment section, American Vindicta, Doug, or anything to let me know that they heard it here, and you'll get that for free. So just mentioning it. But as you look, we just see more and more of these active shooters. We see more and more of the societal issues breaking down. I mean, we're being mocked around the world right now. You see what we sent over to France for Bastille Day? I mean, I don't know if you saw the Surgeon General and the guy who handles the nuclear waste for the United States. I mean, it's being mocked. I mean, we are a nation in just in severe, I mean, absolutely severe, you know, moral and financial decline. You know, we've provoked a war in Russia But, you know, people say, you know, look, that we want to blame the Russians. I mean, Russians are culpable. They did. They've done their own dirty deeds. But, you know, we put bioweapons labs in that country. We did what we did. We're laundering money. We're going over there, you know, with trafficking children, organ harvesting, all the things that goes on over there, billions of dollars filtering through that country. And then, you know, at the same time, we've moved into Finland and moved into Poland. And, you know, we are giving the Russians very, very few outs. The Russians know how this ends, because this is the exact same scenario that happened in World War II. Actually, it's worse right now, because Ukraine was still, you know, neutral in it to a certain extent. Ukraine eventually went with Germany. But, you know, Finland was neutral, and, you know, Poland was supposed to be neutral until Hitler went in there on Operation Barbarossa. So we're circling the Soviet Union. And at the same time, Putin's not a dummy. I mean, he's masterfully doing this. We want to put all this negative publicity out that, you know, Putin's losing the war. Putin has cancer. Putin can't see. Putin's, you know, this. But I mean, they are making their own SWIFT system now with the Chinese, Iranians. And so they're developing a financial system outside of ours that probably will have some gold backing versus ours having no gold backing. I mean, I just saw today Putin is selling diesel fuel to Brazil. Which has been one of our good allies in South America. But, you know, energy is what makes the world go round. Germany, this coming winter is going to face a very, very cold winter, because Putin, all he has to do is shut the gas off, and they're scrambling to try to get their coal plants back up and running. But so, you know, Doug, I just want to put this in historical perspective. I want to ask you a question. Since World War II, what war have we won? We fought a bunch, but which one have we won?
None. We haven't won any. We haven't officially said.
Ding, ding, ding. Is this a clue? Yeah, we've lost. And some of them horribly lost. In Vietnam, you remember the exfil out of Vietnam? It was absolutely disastrous. People beating each other up to get them the last helicopters out of the capital. We went into Iraq. You know, we've left basically Iraq, and because we destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq and their military. Do you know who moved in? The Iranians. The Iranians have now infiltrated all throughout Iraq. We left Afghanistan. I mean, what a shame. What a thing. And leaving all that weaponry behind, which I think was deliberate, not accidental. I think we knew that weaponry was going to be left behind so we could mark it as black. So when you look at what we've done as far as war in the last, you know, 50, 60 years, you have to come to the conclusion that there's a reasonable chance that we're not going to lose this war with Russia, because all the other players we were playing with were minor players. I mean, they were basically went against third world countries and lost. I mean, Afghanistan is not necessarily a first world country. It's a third world country, and we lost. Vietnam was a third world country, and we lost. Iraq was a third world, maybe a second world country, and we lost. And so we've gone against the first world country, two of them right now. And I'm just curious to see how it comes, because, you know, all the indications say from internal intelligence gathering, just from contacts of people I know, you know, and other people know that are in the field of that, and external, which you can actually just go online and look. We just see a world that's preparing for nuclear war. Now, they're never going to tell you that nuclear war is coming. They know what would happen if somebody got on the radio right now, or you heard the alert come across your cell phone, inbound missiles. Remember when that happened in Hawaii a few years ago by accident? People just absolutely came unglued. So you will never know that this is going to happen. They will see it coming. They will start to move and put assets outside of the targets that they suspect would be targeted. They will start to reactivate certain fallout shelters, not for you, not for me. It's very clear that they don't care about you or me. They care about themselves. So they'll take our money, our assets. They'll build themselves fallout shelters. I mean, just look what Nancy Pelosi's husband just did. You know, chip company. They knew that they were going to put billions in. So he buys it, and you know, he becomes much, much more wealthy because of insider trading. We know that's illegal. So it just shows that right there shows that they're out for themselves. That's what they're out for. They'll make millions illegally by cheating and doing whatever they had. So when this war comes, you know, you're not going to have much of a warning unless you make the ability. As I've shown people, you know, I have this on my desk all the time. I want to know, because do I believe that the government would warn me that radiation is coming my way. I don't believe it for a second. I have this in one of these in my car, one of these on my desk. Everywhere we go, I can hear this thing. And you can see right now, it's at 0.6 microsieverts. That's standard background radiation. If that thing went up to 50 or 60 or 100, I would know there's an event going on, and then I would take proper care, because by the time the government tells you, you're gonna be irradiated and dead. They'll be located in their bomb shelters, but you'll be irradiated and dead. We've all both got the intelligence reports from the National Guard that there's rumor that they're activating even bomb shelters in my area right now, fallout shelters. They're you know, just revamping them, making sure they're equipped with food, water, and other things that they need. And I'm sure if that's happening here, it's happening around the country. I do know that the government has stepped up a lot of their freeze-dried food contracts to the vendors who make them, because I've been told that directly by the people who own the companies, that the government came in and said, you know, what we normally would get in a year, we want to bump that up to 3 or 4 months and get all that food here positioned. Because, I mean, what do they know that we don't know? You know, we see so many indicators of our society coming unglued. And just to go through a few, I mean, we look at the food plants burning down. We look at the livestock that's being killed. Today, you know, we've been warned now several times that the Southwest is going to experience brownouts over the summer. Have you heard that, Doug, many mm-hmm. times?
Oh, yeah. All throughout Texas, they're already.
And then there's an explosion and a fire at Hoover Dam this morning. Now, I don't know what caused that, and it could be just standard, but it does. It has a suspicion smell to it when they're telling you their brownouts are coming, and then all of a sudden we have you can go online and watch it. A loud explosion, big plumes of smoke coming out of Hoover Dam, which provides electricity for millions of people in the Southwest. So, I mean, you put that. We're warning you. Brownouts, explosion of electrical plants. We're warning you, food shortages, burning down food processing facilities. You know, we're warning you, new animal diseases that are going to wipe out the cow and pig and, you know, chicken industry. And it happens. I mean, how many more times do we have to be warned? And, you know, I want to address something, having done this for so long. You know, we're in a cycle right now where I think it's like birth pangs, up and down, up and down. And I've noticed the American people that when there's not what they perceive as this imminent threat to their, you know, very, you know, their happiness or their safety or security or their, you know, their stability, how quickly we go back to sleep. And it's because I think the news media has so destroyed people's ability to do, you know, intelligence gathering, start and paint a picture and not forget. I mean, yesterday's news was, you know, oh, yeah, 10,000 cows died. What? I don't even remember that because we've been so conditioned for just little bits of news like that. And 72 hours later, we have forgotten that news. But if you start to put all this together as a picture, I was reading again today another article that the New World Order, they're not going to be stopped easily. It's not. I mean, we just think, well, they're going to go back because we want a few victories right now. You know, we have to understand when you say the New World Order, you're talking about, first of all, every institution, the leadership of every institution in American governance, every institution in world governance, you know, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the council, I'm just thinking, I'm forgetting right now the word, but trilateral commission, all those things, they're all filled with people who are working towards that goal. The news media is all working towards that goal. And so, you know, we are, I think, at the brink of the door right now of them trying to really put their final plans into action. And it will require a lot of bloodshed for them to do it. But I think we're at the point right now, they don't care. The gloves have come off, the mask has come off, and they are just outright totalitarians that have shown what they are. And, you know, at best, we are a nation divided. And I fear for my country right now, Doug. I just see just very bad things happening. And I just encourage people, don't fall into a condition of, you know, just complacency. You know, what the frustrating thing for me in the prepping business is that there's an event happens and then everybody calls and wants stuff tomorrow. Dave Hodges will tell you this. Mike Adams will tell you this. And then you get all these phone calls saying, I need it tomorrow. And you can't do it because nobody's geared up for that level of production. And then people have to wait. They get aggravated. They get frustrated. Use the time you have, whether it's for me or whatever, to get prepared right now. I mean, you know, right now these are available. This is a binocular. We have binocular sets. Also, right now, we just got people have been waiting on what they call the Lifesaver Jerry can. These are phenomenal water filters. Okay. It's military grade. It's heavy duty, you know, food grade plastic that you can fill up 5 gallons of water, 20 liters, and you don't have to purify the water. Just fill it up. You screw the cap on. Well, the cap's a filter that you can put the contents under pressure because there's a little hand pump on it. That takes the viruses, the bacteria, the cryptosporidiums, the spores, the chemicals, all of it out. You can throw this thing in your car and take it anywhere. To me, it's the best all-around water filter that you can have because you could use it in your house and you could use it in the field, and it's big enough to service, you know, multiple people. If you mentioned American Vindicta, you can go there. We only have the blue ones. We just got a big shipment in. We've lowered the price about $50. So you can get that sent to you. We'll have them ready to send out. It's a Lifesaver jerry can, 20,000 liters. But again, if you wait till the crisis happens, whatever it'll be, those things go overnight. I especially when I see a nuclear disaster happen. I remember there were, you know, probably a million bottles of potassium iodate in this country, and it just disappeared in one night. I mean, just gone. Is gone. And we can wait for that. But I just encourage people not to. And like I said, you know, our business does well, but it doesn't matter who you buy it from. You really need to take this time when, you know, the appearance of a normalcy is because we've won 2 Supreme Court battles is coming back. When you look at the intelligence as a whole, our nation and the world is in deep trouble because, again, you know, these people are saying nuclear war, nuclear war, nuclear war. Well, it might not be a direct attack from Putin. I mean, we don't know how many rogue nuclear weapons are out there right now. When Ukraine gave up their nuclear weapons, I think there was 2,000 strategic nuclear weapons and 3,000 tactical nuclear weapons, approximately. No, not all of them were accounted for. So we don't know who has them, what players would use them, just to make it look like the Russians did it. And you know, 10 minutes from now, if that happened, 10 minutes from now, right now, if that happened, the world would be on edge right now, and we would go to DEFCON 4 or 5, and, you know, it would just be a completely different world. Well, I personally do think that's going to happen, and I just encourage people to act accordingly. So I don't know if you have any comments on that, but that's my monologue.
Well, what's happening right now is Ukraine, they have evacuated the embassy in Kiev again. Last time this happened was January, and shortly thereafter that, the Russians invaded. So yeah. What's the reason for them wanting to do it now?
Well, it's always the questions you have to ask, and it's always hindsight to say, I should have seen it. I mean, again, you know, we're warned of food shortages. Food processing plants start burning down, animals start dying, and presto, we have food shortages because also the supply chain. We're warned of power outages or in the Southwest, and presto, Hoover Dam has a large explosion. You wonder how much power that took offline. And so, you know, to think all these are just coincidences, I think we are being internally weakened as a nation with the active help of Joe Biden and his administration and Rhino Republicans and New World Order globalists and the Chinese that are absolutely at work with some of our leadership and government to weaken our nation. The vaccine did a very good job of weakening our nation. I mean, you know, we have shortages across the labor force now. I mean, look at the airlines, look, just starving for pilots because there's been a lot of pilots, a lot more mortality among pilots. I wonder why. But as we see this weakening happening more and more, the dollar losing value, you know, the supply chains being disrupted, the electric grid being affected, and we've always said it'll be an infrastructure attack. And what we see going on in the Ukraine, what we see going on in the Straits of Taiwan. I mean, the Chinese are telling Nancy Pelosi, if you go over there, it'll escalate. That Taiwan is ours. it's just a world right now in turmoil. And my fear is it's so easy for people to go back to sleep. You know, we don't want to be on heightened states of alert, and it's hard to stay on a heightened state of alert. But during this time, I would suggest people, no matter what, how they do it, what they do, really look at seeing, make sure that they're able to take care of their families for extended periods of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and just to add to that, we have the COVID madness coming back.
Monkeypox, COVID, yeah. Shingles, all of it. And now there's the baby pox out there, baby virus out there, some type of meningitis that's attacking babies. And they're, you know, it's causing grave symptoms. You've heard about that, right? The new virus coming out attacking young babies. It just never stopped. And these people, because they know what they've induced trauma in the American people. And trauma does make you numb to the reality of things. And they're just going to keep this trauma coming over and over and over again. It's why soldiers come back from war zones with post-traumatic stress. You know, they know they're creating stress-related illness in the nation. And people just, they go to the gas station in a stress because they got to fill up and it costs a fortune to fill up. They go to the food grocery store. It's stress because they look at the food prices and they have to decide whether I can afford to eat or not. You know, they see their savings account being destroyed. They see their, you know, their 401ks losing tremendous amounts of money. And the inflation rate of 9%, we just know that's a lie. It's 2 to 3 times that high. And so they know what they're doing when they do this stress related. And so the best thing we can do is to try to work around what they have in plan for us. You know, if I know the gas chamber is what they have at the end of the corridor, I'm going to do everything I can to stay out of that corridor, to turn around and get out the corridor, escape somehow. Because, you know, they've openly said that's what they have planned for most of humanity is our liquidation. And so I think we see that coming. You know, one of the big things I tell people, and this would be the real catastrophic event that would happen, is if they took down the comms and you didn't have communication and you couldn't communicate with your wife, your children, your family. If you didn't know what was going on, you're going to be completely in the dark. And again, that's why I mentioned to people, get your ham radio license. I mean, it's not hard to get. You can study for it online. There's also a book you can get that you can use it to prepare. And then you take the test locally. And when you have that ham radio license, you can start to practice with a radio and using it and see and test the distances it goes, everything you need to do. Doug, that rifle you have behind you, if you bought that and fancy little nice scope on it, nice looking thing, it looks tactical, but you'd never fired that and left it there and just said, look how cool I am because I've got a cool rifle behind me. What's the odds of using that weapon effectively in a combat or in a hostile environment? I've lost the audio.
Not very well. And you know, these things don't stay behind me. They're used vigorously. I just always make sure I put them back in their nice little holding spots. And you know, it's one of those skills you do kind of lose if you don't sit there and you don't properly shoot all the time. You know, the other thing, I only fire match grade rounds out of this. I only fire 147 grain match grade Hornaday rounds. So, you know, knowing my hold, knowing my MOA, my minute of angle as I'm shooting, depending on my distances, learning the dope of the scope, I have to practice that. It changes with the wind. It changes with the time of year. It changes. You know, if I left here and I went to Maine, my MOA changes significantly.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm constantly, you know, making sure I'm putting this rifle on the ground and getting behind it. But you have to also understand that if, you know, something hit the fan and all I had was 147 grain ammo and then I run out and now I have 143 grain or even less or, you know, even more, my MOA is going to change again. And do I have the time to go out and to re-zero my rifle when prophecy has hit the fan? Maybe.
Yeah.
You might, but you better think about it. Because you want this thing to be spot on, right? So this is a very technical precision rifle. The AR-15 is an AR-15 from the day you put it down to the day you pick it back up, right? That's the greatest thing about having just a good old simple AR-15 with a red dot. You know, 5.56 is 5.56. The most civilians are not going to get any grain level above 55 grains or 62. So I don't really have to worry about that too much. The other thing is 12 gauge. I'm pretty much not going to change my MOA on a 12 gauge. But, you know, just learning these guns, practicing with them was one of the reasons why I'm investing in airsoft now, like a little child. It's a fun way to train, and I can train realistically. Here's one of my duty holsters, or my holster. I can't see the word duty holster anymore. Here's one of my holsters that I use. This is a airsoft gun made by Umarex, and it's cool. It actually has a bolt holdover in case you run out of ammunition. Just like a real gun, it's reciprocal, so it's a blowback whenever you go to shoot. I have a light mounted on it, so, and this is the light that's on my actual Glock 19. Fits in my holster perfectly, so when I want a good draw stroke out of the holster, but not having to waste, you know, a lot of money on ammunition, I have that. For a bucket of 20,000 of those little BBs, it cost me $20 at Academy Sports. So, you know, it's a practical way of training. It's not better than training with real bullets, and I understand that, but it's safer. I can train my kids on it. I can train people that I feel nervous around and train them on it, and I can train in any environment that I want to, at my church, you know, at my business, inside my home. That's the cool thing about it. And also, you can actually put someone on the other side with another gun. As long as you have, you know, mask like this, you can actually go at it against each other, little force on force. And that changes the dynamic, Bob. When someone shoots back at you, everything changes. You know, we can all be paper target terminators. But when you actually have to move and you have to think your way through the situation, that's something that most people don't understand when it comes to shooting or combat or any of this kind of stuff. 90% of it is going to be moving, communicating, and thinking. And about 10% of it is going to be the gunfight. So if you are moving into a good situation, moving out of a bad situation, you're observing the upcoming situation, you're having your situational awareness, you're passing intelligence, gathering intelligence, you're formulating a plan, you know, you're devising different ways that that plan could potentially go wrong. All this happens within a split second. But if you don't do that accurately,
it's a good point, because that's where the training comes in.
That's
where the training comes in. It's you cannot just buy equipment and stick it aside. Training is required. You know, I had training in the past of detecting surveillance and how to avoid surveillance. And, you know, they didn't even have a clue that I went from ideally you'd want to go, you'd never wear the black as my first shirt. My first shirt would be, you know, something not this bright, but something, you know, brighter, because they're going to spot that. And then when I go to a muted color, it's going to be, they're still looking for the bright color and they're not going to see it. And I put a hat on, then I put the gangster hat on, then I went to a boonie hat and, you know, put sunglasses on, took them off, changed my gait, and then weaved in and out of buildings, and they lost me. And you know, that was all because of training. You know, and in fact, there was a young lady there that I knew, and they got, she was attractive, and they got fixated on her. And I knew they would. So, you know, it gave me a moment where, you know, someone had, because they didn't know what was going on, they might have thought maybe she was part of it and they had to stay and watch her. And, you know, so it breaks off part of your surveillance detail. And it was training. That's training. Now, let's say, well, how will that benefit me? Well, I mean, good grief. One day, if you're coming home from the grocery store and, you know, the food is really difficult to get, and you want to know if you're being followed by somebody, believe me, if you've put expensive meats in your thing or, you know, expensive groceries in your cart, people notice it. I mean, I always, don't you look at the groceries people are buying in front of you and behind you? Look how they pay for it. I mean, I do. It's just observation. But if you, again, you might have somebody that doesn't like you, follow you, whatever. So that kind of training comes in very valuable. Obviously, the gentleman who stopped that threat, his training came in very valuable. And as our society breaks down more and more, the training is going to become more and more valuable. That's, again, what I said about the communication. You know, there's so much you can do with communication. And when your cell phone goes down and your satellite phone doesn't work, you know, a non-network system, a radio, you know, just a standard Bofang radio. I've got this one hooked up to something, but let me take it off here. You know, it, it's It is going to be this little radio right here, which you can get very cheap, very simple. You know, I can do all kinds of things with this radio and be able to communicate. Now, it's not legal, but this radio picks up MERS and GMRS. Those are the frequencies that people use when you go down to the box store and buy a radio. This radio picks up those frequencies. And regardless of what the box says 30, 40 miles. That's just absolute Bravo Sierra. It doesn't do that. That radio might transmit a half a mile. I promise you, no more. I don't care what the box says. What good are the radios then? Well, one of the good things is if I'm listening, I hear people on GMRS frequencies, or MERS frequencies, what does it tell me? It tells me I've got people close to me that have one level, at least one level of sophistication, communication. So, you know, I can listen to them. Also, if I pass these out among my family members and I know how to use a repeater, if I have my ham radio license and I know how to use a repeater, this thing will get 50, 60 miles. So if my family's anywhere in the area and I set times and dates that if there's a crisis at 2 o'clock, religiously, well, I'm going to be on this station. If I'm not on that station, check the alternate frequency because it does an upper and lower band, 100, you know, the 145 megahertz in the 445 megahertz range. So I'd go to one of those two bands and then I could communicate with my family and we could make the plan, implement plan A, plan B, meeting place here, whatever we need to talk about. You know, I can implement it because I promise you, Doug, communications are coming down. And, you know, as the communists take over our country more and more, and we're well into a communist takeover our country, and we see all the levels of what we've grown as normalcy being stripped away from us, our food, our finance, our religion, our family, all is being stripped away, our heritage. That's why they tear down statues, the education of our children. We no longer learn, you know, mathematics. They learn all kinds of deviant, perverted stuff. Eventually, what's going to happen in electricity, brownouts, and then we have an explosion. Your communications is going to be taken away from you. And this is the way you would only thing you have, because this is site to site. There's no network in between. It doesn't have to go to a satellite or a relay or through a phone station or whatever. This thing, you can communicate locally, probably five to 6 miles line of sight. And if you hit a repeater, 50 miles or so. So it gives you the ability to do it. These things are dirt cheap. You can buy bunches of them. You know, and because people always ask me, well, how far does it get? Well, first of all, you know, if I'm talking on my 40 acres here, I want to use 1 watt. I want to use as least power as possible because the more power I use, the further that signal goes, the more people that can listen to me. So, you know, it's everybody always asks, what's the most powerful radio you can get? Well, that's not always the best radio to get. And again, you know, if I can see if I can do this real quick, the main purpose of my radio is not to just do this real quick. It's not to talk. It is to listen. If I turn this on.
Frequency mode 162.550.
I might not get the best. I'm under a pretty heavy covering of roof in this. I've EMP lined this my office here, so it has a silver foil all over the walls. But that's I can gain intelligence with that. And just listening to people, like I said, if I turn it over to MERS frequencies and I'm having it on scan and I hear people talking on MERS, I know there's people close to me. That might be worth something, a sneak and peek to go look and see what they're about. You have two of these radios and you learn how to do it. You create a vector. You can signal. You can go right in on somebody that know you find them exactly where they're at. You give me two of these radios and myself, one other person knows what to do, and I'll find out where you're communicating from. And I'll go look at you and find you and we'll see what you're about. You know, and so this is why I recommend, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do with a radio that you can't do in a normal times. I mean, I also know how to, you know, people that come to RTO course, radio telephone operator course, learn how to use code, offsets, all kinds of things to use on a radio. Now, in normal times, that is highly illegal to do. But, you know, if the zombies are out eating people, all bets are off at that point. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do to protect myself. And communication is going to be, I just, this And this, most people ignore it. They ignore this because of cost. And I understand that's what we offer financing on. And they ignore this because they don't want to have to learn something. But both those things I just said showed are absolutely going to be 100% critical when this thing really comes undone and unspiraled, which is at later this year, we're going to see it. You know, just get these. You can get the Bofeng UV5Rs for $30, and you can buy a bunch of them. You can get the extra batteries, the longer antenna. All that's available. So with that, I would teach my family how to do it. I would set up a communication program with my family of who or when we're going to communicate and what frequency we're going to communicate on. I would have that set up as soon as I could do it. And that allows me to know when my wife or my children are going to be listening on a certain frequency so that if I need to contact them, I can do it if they're not at home. Because the odds are, and now myself, I have three children. Two of them live in the area. One of them lives 5,000 miles away in Alaska. So, I mean, that's not going to do much good. But, you know, I would be able to communicate with two of my sons and their families, my grandchildren, and we could network and have come up with a plan if we have the communication. If I don't and the phone's down, Doug, and I can't get in touch with my son that lives 50 miles away or my son that lives 20 miles away, you know, that's a bad feeling. Or if my wife's somewhere and she's out and something happens, and, you know, I need to ask her, are you okay? How do you get home? What's your plan? How do we, you know, what do we do? Because if the cell phone's down, that's going to be a very, very bad feeling for a lot of people involved. Think about this. Think through it. What are you going to do if there's a crisis and all of a sudden you go to this thing right here and you push it on and hold the button down and it doesn't come on? Or if it comes on and you get zero bars and you cannot communicate? I think that is a real scenario for what's coming.
Well, you know, just to compound everything, we have a, I guess you could say, a slight rebellion that's happening right now within the halls of Congress. As you've been talking, I've been updating this. I got some old DHS buddies of mine that are hitting me up and telling me that Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar were just arrested for protesting. Yeah, for protesting the Supreme Court. Protesting against, you know, the whole abortion rights thing, and that they actually were pretending to be handcuffed as they were walking away. So they weren't really, you know, they weren't really arrested. Law enforcement gave the three announcements as usual. You can't block a street. You can't block the pathway of people. Can't block the pathway of cars. And so, you know, we have people that literally can't afford medicine. They can't afford food. They can't afford their house payment, their cell phone payment, the gas, energy is shot through the roof. I'm not going to tell you what my latest electric bill is, but because of the blunderous attempts at trying to harness the power grid with green energy, Texas is now starting to really compromise. And let me tell you something, Bob, there's no way that I could afford 3 months worth of these bills. And I mean, like, typically my electric bill is like $200, $300, especially during this time, skyrocketed. And it's all because of last year, whenever we had that huge ice storm and everything froze up, and the electric companies are picking people at random, I'm guessing, as to who has to float the bill. I know one lady that was complaining on a forum that my wife and I were looking at had to pay $3,000 for 1 month for an electric bill for a house. I'm not going to say we're that high, but we're not far off from that.
And, you know, see, this is all done deliberately. And that's what I think a lot of people don't grasp. They just think it's a bunch of stupid people in charge with a green agenda. No, they don't believe this green agenda. If they believe the green agenda, do you think they're going to have hundreds of private jets flying to their green agenda seminars, burning up? I mean, and look at the houses they live in. You look at Barack Obama's house. You look at Hillary Clinton's house. You look at Nancy Pelosi's house. You look at them. They're first of all, a lot of them are on the ocean. So much for the oceans rising. And they, you know, these things are 10, 15, 20,000 square foot homes that just take enormous energy to run. Barack Obama's putting in a diesel generator at his house. I mean, come on, not green. He didn't put solar panels up, a diesel generator. So, they don't believe it at all. They're just using it as a club to destroy the infrastructure and to beat down the American people because they have an agenda. Green energy is nothing more than a tool to destroy what we have known as normal in this country, and that's energy independence. I mean, Joe Biden was handed a winning lottery ticket, energy independence. He was handed that. All he had to do was say, just okay, we're going to keep it up. Do the same thing Orange Man did, you know? The news media would go along with it. I'll claim I did it. And, you know, the news media would have gone on along with it. Oh, Donald Trump didn't do that. Joe Biden did it. He gave us energy and independence. But no, what do? They immediately go down to the bottom of the ship with drills, start drilling holes in it, you know, and the ship starts taking on water. They know what they're doing. And this is the thing I don't think a lot of people grasp. This is deliberate. The reason your medicines have gone skyrocket and unaffordable, it's deliberate. The reason food is so expensive, it's deliberate. They kill these animals off. They have these recalls. You know, something's wrong with some food somewhere that thousands of, you know, servings of it just go missing, gone. Gas prices.
Bob, people are scared. People are scared.
They should be. But again, at the same time, you know, the Germans saw Hitler coming. The Germans had Mein Kampf. They could read it. This is what he plans on doing. If the Germans or even the Europeans in 1933 had gone and hung that wallpaper hanger, you know, it would have stopped the whole thing. We knew what he was about. And, you know, they just chose not to believe it. Oh, that's just rhetoric. This is not rhetoric.
No, instead, they cheered him on.
This is, yeah. And I understand, but, it can't be just a few people out there saying these things. It has to be the American people rise up and say the things because I don't know if it's stoppable at this point because I said earlier, The globalists has infiltrated every world organization. They've infiltrated definitely the world financial institutions. They've infiltrated medicine. They've infiltrated all of our colleges. They've infiltrated the news media. They've infiltrated all the halls of government. The infiltration is 100% saturated. The only thing that's left right now is, you know, the American people that still believe in traditional values. And I say more and more of them, I just look and say they defect to the other side. I think a lot of people are maybe patriots of opportunity when they see that that's not going to pay or, you know, do that. They just switch to the other side real quick and try to make it look like that's what I've always believed. Absolutely. The Germans proved that with Jews. I mean, the Jews.
I'll give you an example. And this is kind of off the cuff. Me and Dave Hodges were talking about this yesterday. And we were talking about how the politicians are having National Guard and other military units go around the country and reactivate and check a lot of these old civil defense fallout shelters, not just in your area, it's also in Arkansas. And there's other places, and you know
these are very seismically stable areas.
Yes,
that's why they do it. They're seismically stable,
and they all have tunnels. Every one of them has tunnels and cave systems. Let me break it down like this: you're not going there. You and I are not going to be invited there, Bob. Unless you know the cure for cancer up here and you refuse to let people know, unless you go into it, you're not going. They will hand select certain people of certain criteria, and you'll either be invited or you'll be taken to there. And that's, you know, typically invited means bring your family. Taken means your family got left behind and you got taken. And that's realistic. That's not hyperbole. That's realistic. So we're not invited, right? We're not invited to this big club. So let me tell you, and I don't tell too many people this, but you know what? Hey, what the hell? I the moment I start to see things go bad, I have a few things around the farm. I'm going to be converting one of my buildings into a livable shelter and getting out of my house.
Let me just say this. Okay. American Safe Room. You can go to them online. American Safe Room. We deal with their products. Okay. I was talking to one of the owners out there today, and he says they are at almost break level where they're almost underwater. They can't keep up with the orders. He said a lot of it was government orders, and now the civilians are starting to really place a lot of orders for bomb shelters. I mean, people know we can do the ostrich. And a lot of Americans like, you know, the ostrich. It's the new dance. We'll call it the new dance. I know we don't have dancing anymore, like normal dancing. But, you know, I remember the jitterbug or the tango or whatever. Now we do the ostrich. It's just stick your head in the sand. And Americans love that dance. But a lot of other Americans, and definitely the government, he said the government contracts are just coming in faster than they can even take care of them for bomb shelters. Ding, ding, ding. Do you think that's a bit of intelligence? Again, going back to this, do you think with all that going on, maybe it'd be nice to have something like this or some potassium iodate? Because when it happens, you know, I might have 20 of these in stock at any one time. Okay. They'd be gone in a second. They will be. Everything will be gone. Just disappear.
But that's how it happens all the time, though.
Right now, I have 20 of them in stock. Yeah, and I might sell two or three a week, and I can reorder them in and take care of it. But you let something happen, and this little guy right here will be gone immediately.
Yep.
And it'd be out of stock, and people would call me up. I need one. I need – and I don't build them. I can't make it. You know, we've seen that with the food. We've seen it with water filters. We've seen it with night vision. I've seen it with communication. It all hits this thing when a crisis happens and everybody wants it. But if I look – let me just give you this data and you tell me what you think from this intelligence report. Okay. You have firsthand information that the government has stepped up their delivery of freeze-dried food contracts. Okay. You have firsthand information that the government is buying more and more bomb shelters from bomb shelter companies in America. If American Safe Room is experiencing that level of business increase, just imagine what all of bomb shelters are doing. And American Safe Room, you can go to them and look, they make blast doors, blast valves. They make positive pressure units you can stick in your house that create a positive pressure environment so that it keeps all the bad stuff out through a filter. We sell them. I mean, if anybody wanted to create a safe room in their house, you know what a positive pressure room is. But all of it, and you take those two data points right there, then add the third data point that fallout shelters are being revamped. What would you deduct from that?
I would probably start going to the store and buying a lot of food and a lot of water.
I'm not making this up. This isn't Bob and Doug's Fear Hour. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're doing. We're not fear porn pandering. These are just intelligence things that you can get online. We were reporting it, but it's online. It's not hard to pick up. You can find it. It's there and not too hard to find. At the same time, you know, you see the food industry break down, the medical industry break down. You see, obviously, our school system, education system is breaking down. The energy industry is breaking down. The government's preparing for nuclear war. I mean, excuse me for thinking like Noah, but I do think like Noah. Hey, there's a rainstorm coming here. And, you know, while it's still day, we should be working right now. Because when that night comes, you know, I there's a point where I will say, I'm not selling anything else. I'm just keeping it for myself and my community. You know, I'm just going to keep it for my community. I'll barter with my community. I'll work with my community. I'll make sure that the police in my community have something to eat. I'll make sure, you know, that maybe some church members have something to eat as well as I can. And I'll want to work together with them. But I won't be sending it to New York or California or whatever. It'll be for my community. But there comes a time when I just say, you know, I've got a few pair of these left. I'm going to want to protect my community because I was asking Matt Everett You know, I said, Matt, and I asked him in front of the class we were having this weekend, if there's a complete breakdown, how long before a wannabe junta, you know, warlord would try to exert himself in Monroe County? 12 hours. 12 hours. That's what he said. 12 hours. Now, Matt's been to Afghanistan, Iraq, multiple tours of duty. He's seen this type of thing go on. You know, the village junta, the leader, the you know, the warlord of the village. You've seen it, you know, and so, you know, I'm going to want to keep that stuff to so my community can protect itself from that type of, you know, dirt bag or dirt bags, dirt bag S's, depending on what it is. So, you know, it's at this thing. If you take and look at the intelligence just that we've given you, just those little pieces of intelligence and disease after disease after disease breaking. When is the last time, Doug, and our collective memories, I go back 66 years, that we have seen outbreak after outbreak after outbreak? And it's almost getting to the ridiculous. Now we've got Ninja out there. We have a virus that's killing babies. We have, you know, a bird flu that's killing chickens. We have monkeypox that's come out. We have COVID that's come out. And it's just nonstop. And now we're being warned already that this winter we have another more deadly one coming. Joe Biden has admitted it. I mean, he has admitted that a more deadly virus is coming. What we're doing right now is just putting together what I guarantee you a lot of people up in different governmental centers have done extensively. They're doing a threat assessment. And that's what we're doing between us. We're doing a threat assessment. What is the threat? Is it real or perceived? I mean, I might be the most paranoid guy in the room, but I do think it's real, not perceived. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I think it's real. I think it's real enough that I am starting to double check contingencies and developing some new ones due to new information. You know, everybody has a fallout zone, right? Everybody has a fallout shelter, a bug out shelter. You better have two or three.
A lot of people, unfortunately, their fallout shelter is going to be stick their head between their legs while they're vaporized. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the best fallout shelter they have. And if that's what you want, if you want to die, because I hear people say, well, I don't want to be around for that. I mean, I just wonder why Noah just said, Lord, if you're going to kill everybody, the world's going to get flooded. I don't want to hang around. I mean, everybody's going to be dead. You know, take me with them. I mean, just imagine if Noah had that, you know, philosophy, or Joseph, you know, Lord, I mean, 7 years of famine. Who wants to live through that? You know, I don't want to live through it. I just want to die just like everybody else, you know, but they didn't. So, I would just tell people to look at the threat assessment, the supply chain breakdown, another increment in that supply, in that threat assessment, you know, fuels, just everything.
Hey, let me
all come into a picture where the globalists now are ready to do their Luciferian last push to enslave humanity.
Let me ask you a tactical question. If it all breaks down and you got to leave and you ain't got a place to go, what about going to national parks, state parks?
Well, you got to understand that's probably the last place I'd want to go. The last place I'd want to go with anywhere where people could congregate. You know, I was doing a threat assessment for somebody who was buying a piece of property a while ago, and they didn't even include, they were driving it to me and they said, well, what's your threat assessment? I said, did you know you just passed a big RV park when you go into your property? What do you think that RV park is going to turn into in a crisis situation? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a single double lane road, you know, and you have to pass this fairly good sized RV park to get to your property. Do you think that RV park could present a threat to you? And they go, I never even thought of that. you know, everybody's going to head to that RV park. Pitch a tent, do something, you know, because that's where they think they'll be. And there'll be people out there. They'll block the road. They'll collect a toll. For you to get to your property, if they want you to get to your property, you might or might not be able to get. To it, because I would not come this way and have to go pad that RV park.
I think everyone's under a presumption that like when shit hits the fan, we're all just going to be like singing Kumbaya and bartering out on the street like an Amish market, you know, and everybody's just going to get along and, you know, oh, we'll trade
forth. The boys over here for sale and the girls over here for sale. And I don't mean that facetiously. Yeah, they'll have open air markets just like they do in the Middle East, in certain parts of the Middle East where you can go buy human beings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you remember the movie 13 Hours when they were going down to the markets and they were selling rocket propelled grenades, fully automatic mortars. I mean, you know, that's a bizarre market I'd like to go to. Yeah, two RPGs for the price of one. I remember that in the movie. I do remember it, you know, two for one.
Well, go into a certain comment section. There's an FBI agent waiting to sell you one. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, but kidding. But anyhow, so I think what we do best, Doug, is do a threat assessment. Is your communication lines vulnerable? Is your energy lines vulnerable? Is your food lines vulnerable? It's all there. I mean, the economy is definitely slowing down. I mean, talked to all the elements of building, it's slowing down. And that's another concern I have, is that so many people bought houses over the last couple of years that were very, very elevated in price. And then we have a housing collapse. And then what happened in 2008 happens again, but much worse. And that's most of the nation. Everybody who bought houses in the last two or three years becomes underwater in their house dramatically. And, you know, they lose them. They have to walk away from them. So, you know, those are the threat assessments. But if you don't have an alternate place to go to, I would literally start thinking about what I could do. I would say national parks are probably some of the worst spots. Any place that there's water, where people would go to get water, could be a bad spot to go to. It's going to really take some planning. Joel Skousen, his book on relocation, I don't even know if it's still in print. Strategic relocation, but I think it's Joel Skousen. That actually goes into a lot of things that you need to look forward to. If you might be able to buy it, it might be expensive. Like I said, I don't even know if it's in print. Joel Skousen, strategic relocation, and it gives you all the things you want to look for. And even in that relocation, you know, you've got to be able to defend it, protect it, communicate with those that are with you in it, possibly grow food. And if you find some place like that, strategic location of goods away from your property might be the thing you want to do. You could camouflage. I mean, you can get those hardy shipping containers. They're waterproof. I mean, they're very good. You can camouflage it out in the woods somewhere and you know, put a backpack in it, put some food in it, and, you know, things that you need. And just it'd probably be completely unbothered. Put security tape around it. That way, if somebody does open it up, you know, it's been opened. I wouldn't want to see a booby trap, but, you know, so you know it's been opened.
See, one of the things that I consider a lot with survival, and I want us to go this route here for a second, is there's multiple different avenues, but I think one of the worst ones is going down to the sporting goods store and buying the two-season tent and putting that in your go bag, saying, aha, I have my survival season
tent. Check the box.
Yeah. I went to Academy and I bought a new Magellan, and they said it was a four season pop up tent. It's not collapsible. It's probably about 5 feet long, probably about 40 or 50 pounds. So that's going to really hurt on a ruck. And it's going to be very, very strange to carry around. It's like carrying around an AT4 on your backpack. But this is the thing that I put it up last winter. And I've kept it up for almost an entire year. And I just said, you know, the thing cost me $300. Let's see how long this thing lasts. The first good snowstorm, it did pretty well. The second good snowstorm, the roof caved in. So, you know, when you go to buy stuff, understand that, you know, people put descriptions on this stuff to sell it for you to buy it, right? It's not for you to survive in it. It's for you to go have a good summer vacation in it for a day or two. So we talk about survival shelters, the pop-up tents, that's not it. I mean, there's some level four tents, like what they would use for going up into the mountains, like in the Himalayas. You know, those are decent, but they're very small at the same time too.
And expensive.
Extremely expensive.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you want to look for, we sell ProForce equipment, snow. mug pan with bathtub bottoms in them. So what I'm saying is the bottom is completely waterproof up to about 4 inches on the side. So it doesn't matter how much rain falls, there's not going to be water seeping in through the bottom of that tent as it runs underneath. It's got a, what they call a bathtub bottom in it. Snug pack tents, I've set that up for a year and it's done very, very well, at least in Tennessee. Now, again, if I lived in, you know, Nome, Alaska, I don't know what it would do when you get 3 feet of snow in one night. Obviously what I would try to do is use the snow and build a shelter around it or build something around it to help support it, to camouflage it, because a tent is, even a camouflage tent is easily seeable. You can build some, you know, pine boughs and build camouflage around it that would help support some of the weight around it. If there was a long-term in camping, that's what I would probably do. Try to camouflage it with a structural support around it. You know, so that it would last longer and it wouldn't get direct UV light from the sun, which definitely degrades things. I don't care what they say. If you leave, you know, a tent out and that sunlight hits it, brutal sunlight for a couple of years, it's going to start to degrade that material. And rapidly. So you know,
it rapidly deteriorates.
So I'd build a shelter around a shelter, and it would also give me camouflage. It would hide me from, you know, just something very easy to see, you know, and do that. And that would make the tent last a lot longer.
Well, for my record,
protect it from wind.
Yeah, my recommendation for people is to think old school. And once again, I go back to the frontier times, and I'm just that kind of guy. I'm probably going to make something like a Swedish shelter or a dugout shelter, dig into the ground, and then make a bowl more or less on the top, and use earth ramming techniques as much as possible. Earth ramming, more or less. And here's a good example, right? So if you have a Connex box, don't bury the Connex box. Connex boxes are not water resistant. Yeah, they'll collapse. They will collapse with up to 8 inches of dirt on the top of it. So you have to reinforce it with tubular steel metal. Rebar is not going to reinforce it. Flat metal is not going to reinforce it. So it has to be a structure like tubular steel metal. You know, and I would reinforce the inside. I would reinforce the outside. I would completely spray insulate the entire inside of it, the entire outside of it. I would put it on a raised elevated rock bed. That way when
with a French drain around it, with a French drain.
That's right. That way all that water pools away from me. You know, we're talking about now, you know, three, and depending on what size you got, the reason why I love Connex boxes, we used them in Iraq to live in, and you know, they suck. It's not the Hilton, but it's a lot better than a tent. And you know, if you think about it like this, Bob, you can take these things up, and I'll tell you like some of the ways that I would set it up. I would take one and I would make that a birthing area. So that's where everyone's, you know, cots are going to be at. And then I would just make a big horseshoe. And that's all I would do, make a big horseshoe. You make one the bathing area, one the cooking area. Make sure you have them separated. I would earth ram all the way around it. You could put the center area around it as like your little hangout spot. But, you know, you want it to be protective. You want it to make a little cove. People are going to see it. You're not going to hide something that's 10 feet tall. So if you're not going to hide it, then you better make it well prepared. You better make ramparts. You better have a good size fence. And you know, I would go back into what the 16th and 17th century guys did when they were setting up forts. I would fell trees and stick them in between trees and make ramparts, make as much palisades and obstruction between me and whomever as possible. You know, and there's some techniques on this that the military will teach you, but a lot of it's a bunch of good old boy stuff, learning if what the guys did in the French and Indian Wars. If you want to learn tactics of how to survive a post-apocalypse war, it's the French and Indian and the colonial wars. That's what it'll go back to. People don't want to relate that, but it'll go back to that.
That's where Rogers Rangers rules comes from back
then.
Yes,
it is.
If you read the Ranger Handbook, it's Rogers Rangers rules are in there, and it is
good old swamp
his
box.
Rules that were developed in the 18th century are in there, so you can read it. But again, we're not trying to fear point anybody. What we're trying to do is give an intelligence assessment, what we're facing. Beware of normalcy, because normalcy bias, complacency is going to get you killed, as it is millions of Americans. And they know this. Millions of Americans are going to die from normalcy bias. I mean, you just look how people goose stepped to the vaccine, the mask, all of it. And, you know, and even today, it's still, people are still doing it. And it's deeply ingrained into them. And this thing of trust the government, they're here to help, is so deeply ingrained in so much of America that, you know, when it all falls apart, they're going to be thinking, what happened and who did it happen to and why can't I get? And it's not fair. And all the other things, you know, this isn't right. It's not fair. Why is the government taking care of us? Well, you know, and they're going to never see the fact that it was all planned by the globalist. Their demise has already been planned. And like, as you said earlier, unless you have some, you know, I know how to build a Starship engine technology or understanding, you're going to be left to die. And it doesn't take a lot of nuclear weapons to really do a planetary catastrophe, you know, because especially if it happens in a city, you get so much radioactive debris kicked up into the atmosphere. It's going to come floating down all over humanity. We're at these days, you know, my theological belief, we're at the days that heading up to the great tribulation, they call it the great reset, same thing. But I would just challenge everybody. And all I do, I just get it, write it down. Now, I save my intelligence. I save it so that I can refer back to it all the time, because a lot of times stories are scrubbed from the internet. As soon as a 72-hour news cycle goes by, you know, you can't find it anymore. It's way back in someone's 16th page on Google. You know, they've really hidden it well. I keep all my intelligence reports so I can go back to them. That way I have pretty good recall of what's going on. And I just want to say, when I look at it, I just think right now the human race is headed towards, it's in a race towards its own destruction, and nobody's putting the brakes on. We're just keep going headlong into it. I mean, and they don't want to put the brakes on. They want us going over the cliff, and that's where we're headed. So, buy from anywhere you can get it, stock up, store up. What I say, pray, plan, and prepare. I'll mention it again. You buy a night vision, any night vision, you get those light interference filters for free. It's $159 value. We'll send one with any night vision you purchase, and then the Lifesaver Jerry can. You can take that baby anywhere, and it does all the way down to viruses. So again, look it up online. You can. The nice thing, I like it most, I can fill it up with dirty water, because water's a magnet. People will be coming to get water, fill it up, and get out of there, 80 mile out of there. And then I've got, you know, 5 gallons of water. It has a pump on it, so I can actually put the container under pressure and have the water come out with no viruses, no bacteria, no spores, chemically treated, cleaned, and sediments out of it. So, you know, we've put it on special right now for people that say we only have the blue ones in stock at that price. So I just say they've been hard to get for the last 2 years. They've been hard to get. We just got a pallet load of them in, and anybody wants to avail themselves of it, Lifesaver Jerry can, and then any PVS 14. And again, anybody who calls me, I'll gladly talk to you about whatever preps you want to do. Because, you know, if you want to talk about whatever, and I have people call me all the time asking me questions about what do I do here, what do I do there. There's no pressure to buy something. I'll just help you out any way I can. And if you call me at 800-627-3809, I'd be more than glad and honored to talk to you and give you whatever my expertise is. If you go online right now to readymaderesources.com and go to the top of the page, you'll see the little training icon up there. Click it. It'll take you to the course that Doug is offering, and you can pay for it online now. We just got it up so you can actually pay for it online. You're good to go. Come here on September 2nd and 4th. And not only are you going to get excellent training, but you could be able to talk to two experts that have real life situational training in this environment of what to do, because I think we all see our society is becoming more and more violent.
It is. And just to let people know that, you know, you need to be prepared for at least 5 days, because that's most likely going to be Thursday, a travel day. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is a training day, and then Monday is a travel day. Prepare.
We have area for about the 5 people to camp also. But there are bed and breakfasts around here, there are cabins, there are camp spots. You know, you can camp off property, but there's some little motels around here that are nice. So there's facilities you can have to do that with. But I think you'll find when you come here, our training facility is going to be top notch. And obviously the instructors are going to be top notch. So, you know, I would, as we see our society become more and more violent, I would want to know how to prepare for that eventuality if I'm ever in that situation. Or one of my loved ones is in that situation. I will know the methodology by which I can most likely save my life or my family's life.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is to make sure that you have a plan. You evaluate that plan with your family, your loved ones, the people that you plan on bugging in or bugging out with. And then you practice that plan. You find out what failed, and then you go back to pre-planning that plan all over again, and you test that plan monthly. So that way, Bob, when it happens, you're prepared. That's what we used to tell the government to do. We told the government consistently, we tested them on their plans. And let me tell you, 5 times out of 10, they failed. 5 times out of 10, well, we didn't
just look at TSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just look at TSA. How many scenarios the TSA has failed? The people have gotten, you know, they actually are agents that try to smuggle things through TSA, guns, all kinds of stuff go through TSA that aren't caught.
Well, I mean, even into a lot of the federal buildings where we have, you know, security guards, armed contract guards, we have a lot of red cells where we, you know, more or less, I'll say we are testing the integrity of the security, and things get by them all the time. Scary things get by them all the time. So, all right, Bob, that's all we got for right now. If we have anything that's picking up on the topic that you and I were talking about earlier, we'll probably need to make a video about it. So hopefully nothing.
Yeah, I have some sources in the National Guard. I'm going to call and ask if what they know about this, and I'll report back to you and let you know.
All right, buddy. Everybody, thank you very much for listening. This is Doug Thornton and Bob Griswold. Please visit readymaderesources.com. Gather the gear that you can now while you still have the time before the freaking economy crashes. So that's all we got for you right now. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.